Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. I'm Todd Albaugh. It is Wednesday, hump day, the 22nd of March, 2023. Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer, engineer on the board. Happy Wednesday to you, Mr. Zommers.
Hump day!
Had to make sure I played it this time.
had to get the camel out of the barn or something like that. How is your Wednesday going, Mr. Zommers?
Pretty well so far. Once again, I feel awake. It's so good. Nice to feel awake.
It is. He's a little later this week because he gets to sleep in just a tad because our friend and colleague, Pat Kreitlow, he has a Cervicivus and a Cervenc, and he's resting very comfortably in Boca Raton with my good friend, Paul Baldwin. Thank you very much. Number to call, 444-555-1212.
You can get a hold of our very own Pat Kreitlow from Up North News.
That's a line, of course, from a Coffee Talk from Saturday Night Live from Mike Myers some years ago. Did you ever watch that? You ever seen that sketch, Coffee Talk?
I have not.
Oh, my God. It's one of my absolute favorites. Absolute favorites. Because it was the very first sketch was Mike Myers played this guy, Paul Baldwin. And it was kind of an exaggeration on a Brooklyn Jewish type of person that hosted this coffee show. And so they played up the Brooklyn accent, Coffee Talk, 555-444, the whole Brooklyn accent thing. And so they thought, and then Mike Myers' mother-in-law at the time was this very, if you know Fran Drescher, like a Fran Drescher type of woman, very Jewish, very Brooklyn. So he changed the character and he dressed up in drag to change the character to Linda. And so he hosted the Coffee Talk with Linda Goodman, and every episode for a while she'd say, "I'm filling in for my good host Paul Baldwin, who has a Cervicivus and a Cervenc. He's resting comfortably in Boca. Thank you very much."
I see now the drag. Yeah,
one of my all time favorite.
I love me some Mike Myers.
Right, exactly. You can't go wrong. Here's a story about Toddy, and people who know me will appreciate this. I had a very nice pair of leather gloves that were a gift several years ago. And about a month ago, when it was snowing outside here, I came in and I couldn't find them when I went to leave. But where the heck are my gloves? And I was convinced that I had dropped them out of my jacket and they had fallen in the parking lot and were plowed under by the snowplow. So for the last month or so, I've been looking in the snowbank every day as it melts, thinking I'll find my gloves and I'll dry them out, you understand? And yesterday, I carry a backpack. I have my computer. I have my mini office is in my backpack. And yesterday, I was going through my backpack and I was looking for a pen. And I'm like, well, did it go all the way to the bottom of the backpack? And I reached way down in the bottom of my backpack.
No.
And there were my leather gloves. It's so large and disorganized. I lost my gloves in my backpack, which will be enormously entertaining for people who know me. A, because they know how disorganized I am in my personal life, and B, that I carry this huge backpack. One of my friends not too long ago said, "What, do you have rocks in here or what?" And I'm like, "Well, I need to be able to launch a broadcast at a moment's notice, so I have a lot of stuff in there. I carry around with me in case I breaking news, in case I need to know, need to have it." So yeah, the good news is my gloves are found. It's like Christmas all over again, Christmas in March.
They have Christmas in July, but I think Christmas in March could be the new go-to.
And then I ran out of coffee filters this morning, so I had to go over to Starbucks. I nearly got taken out by some high-end woman in an Acura. I mean, she drove in at about 70 miles an hour. Okay, not quite that. But she was driving in. She nearly hit me as she drove into the parking lot. And then do you think she'd stop and say, "Oh, sorry, go ahead"? No, she just keeps on going to get in line at Starbucks.
Well, of course, got to get that Starbucks.
It's a vicious morning here in Madison, let me tell you. Don't get in the way between a high-end Republican woman and her Acura and a cup of coffee. She will take you out. not even close. We have another Republican, a former Republican, joining us this morning. He is not high-end. He is low-key, and he is chill. It is our friend Trygve Olsen from the Lincoln Project joining us here after the break this morning. We will talk to him a little bit about the Trumpster and the possible indictment today, what it all means. So looking forward to a hearing from Mr. Trygve Olsen. But first, here is a check of weather for you. Across our listening area, across the state of Wisconsin, in Richland Center, the RC, WRCE news from the center, a slight chance of rain, cloudy skies today, a high of 52 degrees. Then a chance of rain, likely tonight, a low of 31. A chance of snow, and then partly sunny tomorrow, a high of 43. Not a lot of accumulation, just enough to track a cat or thereabouts. Up in Wausau, WXCO Bull Falls Radio for today, partly cloudy, a chance of rain, a high of 45. And then a chance of snow for tonight. Again, not a lot of accumulation in Wausau tonight. A low of 28, and then tomorrow, Thursday, partly sunny at a high of 38. Over in WLAK, Lake Air Radio in Amory, mostly cloudy, a high of 38 for today. Then for tonight, mostly cloudy, a low of 23. And tomorrow, Thursday, decreasing clouds at a high of 37 degrees. So there's your weather forecast for today. A couple of news headlines. Former President Donald Trump is bracing for several potential scenarios related to a possible indictment for the Manhattan...
I thought that was yesterday.
It was supposed to happen, but no. Indictment for the Manhattan grand jury probing of hush money schemes, even as there are signs the investigation into Trump's alleged role in the scheme is quietly paying adult film star Stormy Daniels is nearing an end. It is not clear yet that the former president will be charged or when the charges could be unveiled, although there are reports the charges could come as soon as today. We'll talk about that and more with Mr. Trygve Olsen from the Lincoln Project. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show. It is about 8:15 on a Wednesday morning, the 23rd of March, 2023. Glad to have you along with us for another midday program. And as we said in the break, I look on my Zoom and I see the wonderful, the talented Trygve Olsen, and I feel like my day is made. And it really is the beginning of my weekend, Trygve. How are you?
I'm good. How can I be bad when we're starting the morning off with some sticks?
Right there. And Mr.
We're in rare form.
Mr. Zommers is on top of it.
It's a good song.
It is a good song. Best of times, baby.
For those that might live under a rock or haven't joined us before, Trygve is a native of Wisconsin, former Republican like myself, and worked for great folks like John McCain and then also people like Mitch McConnell and others. And then left the party and joined Project Lincoln or the Lincoln Project and is fighting for democracy around the country and around the world. He joins us each and every Wednesday from at this time for the first hour of the program. Trygve, I want to start out this morning. Of course, the big news this week, former President Trump announcing on his own that he was going to be arrested yesterday. That did not happen, of course. And this continues to swirl and make news across the country. The former president facing indictment. Maybe the reports are that they may vote on this as early as today. He may be indicted. Doubtful he'll actually do a perp walk and be processed today. He would have to surrender himself from Mar-a-Lago and go to New York to do that. I guess the larger picture I want to talk to you about is, A, do you think this is the right? There's some discussion that, yes, legally by the book, Trump can be indicted, and there are probably legitimate reasons there for that. Basically, and it's not the hush money. It's this campaign election violation and then trying to cover it up that they're really going after him on. But the question to you is, do you think the DA, the local DA, should be going after him? And should this be the thing that brings him in? Or could this potentially weaken larger charges down the road?
I think it does a few things, Todd. I think one, it just about ensures that Donald Trump will be the Republican nominee. Mm-hmm. And Fox News had a poll out. I think it came out this morning. In fact, I think it showed him at 54, something like that. Mm-hmm. DeSantis second at maybe like 24, 27. So I think it ensures that. I think, I think your point's a good one. It raises real questions. I was on a call yesterday with somebody, and we were talking about it, and the point that I was making is, you know, if it had been federal charges leading, that would carry far more magnitude than this. I also think, you know, it's demonstrating some of the problems that we have currently, in that you now have Congress calling for investigations and people like Lee Stefanik and Jim Jordan wanting to get the county DA up on the stand. I'm not sure how the DA in Richland County or St. Croix County or even Dane County would feel about that precedent being set. Congress suddenly, if they disagree with charges that you're bringing, is going to be summoning you to go speak, you know, under oath to them, and they're going to nitpick it. And then I think perhaps missed in all of this and more important in the bigger scheme of things is you have, you know, Xi Jinping and Vladimir Putin plotting a new world order that without America at the center of it. And we're busy talking about Donald Trump paying hush money to a porn star. And that's what's dominating our news. And, you know, it just gets to the question that we all have to ask ourselves as Americans, are we going to be serious? And if we're going to be serious, and we're living in serious times, we need serious leaders, Ronald Reagan type leaders, not clown shows who, you know, apparently were paying off porn stars to, you know, seek office. So, and, you know, for those who say, well, it's a hoax or whatever, I think you have to ask yourself, like, do people like Putin and Xi have your best interest at heart, or would they just soon dominate? And why, well, we snooze with the Trump show, they're plotting.
So I want to go back to this for a second to this particular charge. Again, it's a local DA charge. It's basically what it comes down to, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but it basically, as I understand it, comes down to, it's not just that he paid, it's not a moral thing where, you know, whether or not, you know, a married man should be paying a hooker, that's a whole other, you know, debate. It really comes down to, you know, someone paid money to this porn star, Donald Trump, to Stormy Daniels, and then he basically used campaign money to do it, which is, it was over the $2,700 limit. And so he was a campaign violation. And then he tried to cover up that payment, basically lied about it. And so the one argument, one side is, well, you know, if Todd would do that, he'd get hauled in and he'd have charges put on him. So nobody's above the law. So we have to bring Donald Trump in and we have to prosecute him like anybody else to show that nobody is above the law. But there are other people, and I won't name who they are. I talked to a couple of the other Republicans, one former, one current, who make the argument that, yeah, okay, fine, buy the book, that have the Federal Election Commission fine the guy for election violations, basically. But they really believe that there's a good chance that Trump and his attorneys could get him off ultimately on this charge, and he's only going to use it moving forward on the larger federal charges like insurrection to say, look, it's a witch hunt. I got off on the first one. Right. None of this stuff is real. And he's going to use it to propel himself.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I mean, I think regardless, he's already using it to propel himself. Sure. Yeah. He becomes a martyr. And the idea that Donald Trump, honestly, I truly believe, and I've seen some polling recently that I think would make my bet probably covered. I think even indicted and potentially even sitting in the Manhattan County Jail, he'll win the Republican primary. I mean, it makes it that much more likely that he will. I think the bigger question that all Republicans need to be looking in the mirror and asking themselves is, you know, do we want to continue with this? Is this worth it? And have a recognition that Trump and his supporters have changed the party, and it's not the party of Tommy Thompson and or even Scott Walker anymore. Mm-hmm. It's a completely different beast, and they have to be asking themselves, what can I do to try and, if I want to stay a Republican, take it back? Or what can I do as an American to ensure that we're figuring out how to have serious people who are going to be trying to confront some of these challenges that we face at home and abroad.
And to your point,
which are all interconnected.
Sure. And to your point, and other people have said this as well, I'm still surprised the amount of Democrats and even some Republicans who still say, oh, no, there's no way. That they have this fallacy somehow that, oh, if Trump is sitting in a cell, there's no way that people are going to vote for him. I think it's exactly the opposite. We've already seen that. You know, already some of these people who are on the fence are coming to his defense. We see these people trying to form a moat around Mar-a-Lago. I mean, it's just kooky as get out. But I truly think that I agree with you 100%. I think this solidifies Trump as the Republican nominee in 2024.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, there's a part of the Republican Party that is highly pessimistic and you know, believes that will buy into his notion that this isn't really about him, that it's these people wanting to repress all of them. I just don't think that's the case. And I think the other thing is that, there's an element of Trump and Trumpism that's about wanting to control government to control what people do. And for a lot of us, I think you're probably in that category. I certainly am. We became conservatives because we didn't want government telling us what to do.
Yeah, exactly.
And for me personally, I don't care if that government is left-leaning or right-leaning. I don't want them telling me and my kids what to do. Are there certain things that for the common good, they should be able to tell us to do or set, like driving 65 miles an hour on I-94? Yeah, of course.
Right.
Because that's in everybody's interest, including my own. But I don't want government making decisions for me, for the most part. And, Trump and Trumpism wants to control government so that they can impose their will on people. And that's no different than quite frankly, those on the left that want to do that.
And that's the joke. It's the sad joke. But that's the thing. It drives me bananas, Trigvi, because, again, you and I grew up at the same time. I know we have similar views on smaller government. It's generally better, not always, but generally. But that's the joke, right? Is Republicans for years since you and I got in, you know, things are better done in Amory and Richland Center and Wausau than they are in Madison. They're better done in Madison than they are in D.C. Local is better. But I'll tell you, from being in the building for most of Scott Walker's reign as governor working for Dale Schultz, I don't recall a time when Republicans went further into overriding local control. It was whether it was mining laws, whether it was high capacity wells and controlling people's water. I mean, the list goes on and on. Fracking, they overrode locals at every stop and almost no control, asking local people in Wisconsin what they thought. And again, somehow that as you've talked about, the narrative is, oh, we're here to help you. No, they're not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and some of that is, you know, we've talked about this before. Tommy Thompson used to always say, two kinds of politicians, those who want to be, those who want to do. Anybody who spent any time around him, particularly if he had a few spotted cows in him, heard him say that. He probably still says it.
I'm sure he does.
Up on the farm in Elroy, yes. Whenever he's farming, he's probably saying that to him. Two kinds of people. But the reality is Donald Trump is the guy who wants to be. He isn't necessarily a guy who wants to do. And all these people who are buying in on, oh, I love the policies. You ask them to name what the policies are. They can't really tell you in specifics. Yeah. The only policy they can tell you that they liked is he drove liberals nuts. And what the Manhattan DA and these people don't seem to understand is, for Trump supporters, what they like about this is the fact that he's going to keep going and keep fighting. That drives them nuts. And for the people who back Trump loyally, they're like, amen, right. Keep doing it. That's the litmus test.
We shall see. We'll come back and talk. I want to expand more on Trigvi's international experience and talk more about this this conference between Putin and President Xi over in China. But before, you brought up Tommy Thompson. He used to take government around the state, you know. And one time he took him down to southwest Wisconsin. And I was sitting around a campfire with he and his staff one time, and he told, I'll never do it justice, but he told our former Secretary of Tourism was Moose Spiros. And he said, you know, I sent Moose up, you know, to up to northern Wisconsin to speak at the Moose Lodge. And, you know, he was supposed to give a gal-dang speech. And he came back and he said, Governor, they elected me the head, the president of the Moose Lodge. Moose Spiros ended up being the head of the Moose Lodge, like Rhinelander or something. I don't know. More with Trigvi after this. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. On the Civic Media Radio Network. That was actually a show I hosted for a while on WRCO back in the day called 80s Alive. I think it was, we did it in the 90s, but it was called 80s Alive by old 80s music. No, it's actually the Todd Allball Show, an old 80s transplant here in 2023. And this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Our guest this hour, Trigvi Olsen from the Lincoln Project. But first, we're going to take a little time out and go over to our wonderful forecaster, our meteorologist at Weatherology. That is the one, the only Kara Foster. Kara, guest this morning, so we got to keep it brief. But how are you doing? And let's get into the forecast.
You got it. Well, there's not too much to report, honestly, which is like the first time ever. I swear, it's a godsend for sure. I mean, it's going to be a beautiful next few days. Today, we're going to stay a little cloudier, but still beautiful out there. Cloudy in 38 in Amory. We might see some flurries, but I mean, most of it is already passed in Wausau. So we're going to reach a high of 45 and stay cloudy there. As we head into Richland Center, we're going to stay cloudy and back in the 50s, reach a high of 53. As we head into tonight, mostly cloudy, 23 in Amory. Could see some flurries overnight in Wausau again, but highly unlikely. We'll just dip down to 26 and stay cloudy. And then the same thing in Richland Center. We could see some rain and snow showers, but I mean, it's going to be very light snow. Probably more of the rain showers, if anything. We'll dip down to 31 there. Then from there, it's going to be a pretty sunny few days. I mean, we're going to just stay sunny Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and even into Monday. Highs are going to continue to climb up. We're going to stay in the mid-30s, or upper 30s, lower 40s for Thursday. We're going to climb to the 40s throughout the central and northern portions of the state on Friday, and then stay there throughout the weekend. And then we'll, of course, reach the 50s, upper 40s, and lower 50s early next week for the southern portion of the state. So, I mean, honestly, like I said, not too much to report. The next chance we could see any more accumulation, or not accumulation, I should say precipitation, that's the word I'm looking for, is early next week, but it's still only like a 20% chance of just rain showers. Our temperatures are going to hold out for us, so it's going to be a pretty nice first full week of spring after yesterday. I'm meteorologist Kara Foster.
All right, Kara, thank you very much. We appreciate you. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day.
Thanks, you as well.
My pleasure. Weather forecast, just in case you want to know, down in Dallas, Texas, right now it's 68 degrees in Dallas. They're headed to a high of 83. Beautiful.
Gross.
Beautiful weather in Dallas. I only bring that up because a couple of listeners actually called in. They're listening this morning, and they said, we're going to need a couple of extra drinks after you and Trigvi said that Trump is the likely 2024 nominee. So the mimosas are flying down in Dallas this morning on the news from Trigvi Olsen.
whenever anything goes out on the Lincoln Project's Twitter feed, which they retweeted this morning with lots of trolls, and I had one of them who's like, that's a nothing burger. Of course, Trump's going to be the nominee. We're all voting for him. So, okay, whatever. It's nice that Kara's bringing you good news. Every time I've been on here, Kara brings bad news.
She had a nice weather forecast, a spring-like weather forecast, finally. It's been, I'm not sure how much your mom lives up north, too, but my stepdad my dad and stepmom live in Shawano, just west of Green Bay. And, like, as of, like, last week, they still have, like, 3 feet of snow on the ground up there in Shawano. Just crazy.
Really?
Yeah.
You know what's funny is every time whenever we go to Packer games, we stay at the if we have to overnight, we stay at the Days Inn in Shawnee.
Do you really? Very good. It's a fantastic little place.
And my daughter, it was hilarious because when we went over the 1 year, we're driving through and she's like, "What is this Shawano?" And I'm like, "Shawno, Shawno." She's like, "Dad, it's spelled Shawano."
There's a lot of names in Wisconsin that are spelled one way and pronounced another, right?
There's a learning curve when it comes to Wisconsin cities and names. You learn that when you're riding around the state with a politician.
Isn't that the truth? That is so true, Trigvy. Yeah, when Dale was majority leader and we were truly going all over the state, there weren't too many places where you haven't been. I think it's safe to say I've been to every county now in the state of Wisconsin, but and you find out.
So, McCallum and I traveled all over the state of Wisconsin, and I have to say, and I'm not saying this just because I'm on your show or whatever, but I am a homer for Wisconsin.
Sure.
But I have to say, having traveled all over the place, like when you get to travel around Wisconsin, it is one of the most beautiful places on earth. Yeah. And it's funny, when I got stuck during the pandemic in the States and my wife and kids were over in Europe, I flew back to Wisconsin because I didn't know where else to go. And I ended up driving around the state for like 15 days before I landed at a buddy's cabin in Adams County. And I went everywhere. I was in Hayward and I was up in Bayfield and I was down in Madison. I tell you, northern Wisconsin in particular, just incredible.
It is.
If end times are coming, I want to be in Bayfield, Wisconsin. I don't know if you have any listeners in Bayfield, but that's the place to be.
About another month or so, maybe less, we're actually going to be opening up our new station in Hayward, and we'll in fact be all over the North Woods, including Bayfield. So there you go. We'll be broadcasting all over.
If you decided to do a Todd Allbaugh Wednesday, Hayward to Hurley to hell. We could go all the way to Michigan and think about it. We would literally be ending in hell because we're in Michigan.
Let's do it. I'm totally down. We want to do more of that this summer. Travel around a little bit. We have you and have Timmer meet us in Michigan.
He'd meet us in hell.
Meet us in hell, Michigan. There you go. speaking of not so nice places, let's go to China and the Soviet Union or Russia for a while.
They're trying to rebuild the Soviet Union.
Exactly. So you brought this up and you said everybody's concerned about Trump and porn stars and hookers in the United States right now. That's what we're infatuated on. When we really should be looking at what's going on overseas in this this confab, this meeting, if you will, between President Xi of China and Vladimir Putin of Russia. Tell folks, as someone who has spent time in Belarus and other places as having the distinction of having been banned from Russia by Putin himself, give us some insight on why we as Americans should be paying attention to this and what it means for us down the road.
Well, I mean, I think we have to take people like Xi or Putin or Donald Trump, for that matter, at their word when they say. And, so Xi left Moscow this morning, their time, and evening, their time, this morning here. And basically he and Putin at the end said, but Xi said to Putin, we're going to change things unlike they've been changed in the last 100 years. What they're talking about, what you have to understand is we all assumed the Cold War was over, and it was. But for people like Xi and Putin, it never ended. And so, we need to recognize that they would be doing, I've said this to others, if Vladimir Putin could be doing to Richland Center what he's been doing to places in Ukraine, he would be doing it. He isn't doing it because he recognizes that, the consequences of that would be a disaster for Vladimir Putin, but he would do it. And destroying the United States, they have said, both Xi and Putin, and they reiterated it, they don't like the world order. Globalization and the things that have made America exceptional. They don't like that they were on the losing end of history, and they are going back to try and rewrite it. And that is a serious thing. And it may not be something that we want, but it is sometimes you don't get the choice. And while we are consumed with ourselves, and we had the luxury for the last 30 years, for the most part, to be that, when the Cold War ended, we may no longer have that luxury. In fact, I would say we don't have that luxury. And that means that we have to really think through who are people that are serious. And when we're debating, you know, issues like payments to porn stars, which admittedly, I'm not an expert on paying porn stars because I've never paid one, but
he just got it for free.
But like, that's not serious. Can you imagine Ronald Reagan or John Kennedy having paid a porn star? Or Lyndon Johnson, or Richard Nixon, right? Like George H.W. Bush, it just wouldn't have happened.
Right.
And therein lies, and that doesn't mean that they're not humans and that they didn't have their faults, but we've got to be far more serious than we are. And I would say, here's the other thing, like all these Republicans who are going on and on about how concerned they are about the Communist Party of China, but seem to be taking Russia's side on all kinds of things like Ukraine. What are you missing? Like, yeah, that... you don't need to know anything about foreign policy to understand that China and Russia are going to be in cahoots. And in fact, for Republicans who are old enough, Ronald Reagan taught us this lesson long ago. So all these Republicans who, like Kevin McCarthy claims Ronald Reagan's the reason he became a Republican. Hey, dude, were you paying attention, or are you just saying that because you think that it makes you sound good?
Because
I think it's the latter.
So help us explain, or help us understand this trivia, because this is the thing that I think confuses, or a lot of people are like, huh? Exactly what you just said, everything you said. Reagan was the one that taught us a lesson, the dangers of communism in the Soviet Union, by and large, at least for our generation. And here you have people of our generation in Congress, Republicans, being against helping the Ukraine and essentially letting Putin just move into Europe. And by the way, Marjorie Taylor Greene, yes, Ukraine is in Europe. She doesn't seem to understand that quite. But why is it, why do you have these mega Republicans being against helping Ukraine, but yet, you know, wanting to stand up against China? What's the disconnect there? What are we missing?
Some probably would argue that maybe it's race. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah. I don't understand it. I don't understand how you can have a guy like Tom Tiffany consistently voting against aid to Ukraine and then running around saying, I'm a Reagan Republican, but I'm going to Congress to do everything I can to support Donald Trump's agenda. It shows such a lack of depth or just such cynicism.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard to know. I mean, even a guy like Derek Van Orten's doing that. And he loves to run around being like, I'm a Navy SEAL and pose with guns and all the rest of it. I'm going to be tough on China. Well, like, but I don't agree with Ukraine. It's all the same fight.
Yeah.
But they're compromised because of Donald Trump. I mean, that's in many ways, that's what Donald Trump did to the Republican Party. He compromised them all. So that they're sort of stuck on the side of autocratic actors and people who, you know, don't really care about democracy. At least that's my take.
I'm glad you brought up Derek Van Orten, because we're about 4 or 5 months into this guy, and I've already had it with him, because every single press release he puts out is, well, as a Navy SEAL. And he wraps himself in the flag and this holier-than-thou thing. And I am telling you, it is a disservice to every single man and woman who put on the uniform. People who were Navy SEALs and have done the hard work, who are doing the hard work. People who put their lives on the line for our liberty and freedom every single day. And this joker is going around trying to use that. And then he was at the frickin' insurrection. He is an insurrectionist. He brought dishonor to the uniform and into the name of Navy SEALs. And this guy is trouble.
Right. I think, politicians who do that, like they wrap themselves completely in their service and that's what they build their narrative around rather, again, it gets back to Tommy Thompson, right? There's two kinds of politicians, those who want to do and those who want to be. And that's want to be. Right. That's not want to do. Ivan, what proposals beyond just talking point trash has Derek Van Orten come out with I haven't seen any.
He got himself elected any. Or he got himself appointed on the Ag Committee. And, of course, Kind hadn't been on, his predecessor hadn't been on the Ag Committee for years. And so he's making hay that, oh, my gosh, I'm the first person from Wisconsin on the Ag Committee in like 10 years or whatever. And God love him. And that's fine.
Steve Gunderson, probably.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think Kind was for his first couple of terms, then he got tired of it. That he wanted to be, I think he has a budget or something like that. I don't know. But I mean,
I get it, but like and quite honestly, whoever represents the third district probably should be on the Ag Committee.
Well, yeah, right? I've no problem with that. Hang on,
he's just wrapping himself.
Agreed. Going to take a break. Come back with more with Trygve Olsen from the Lincoln Project as well. Stay with us. This is the Todd Allball Show. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Ball show. It is now 8:50 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Trygve Olsen is our guest this hour. Very dramatic music. Mr. Thomas, what do we have dialed up? Is that like the X-Files or what is that?
What is the Stranger Things theme?
Oh, it is the Stranger Things theme. All right, well, there have been Stranger Things, that's for sure. Although, perhaps none like as strange as the times that we live in with Trump and everything else going on. So I want to get to a little good news in Wisconsin. Well, I want to be very cautious about this. We're a little under now, 2 weeks away from a general spring election in Wisconsin. And of course, the big thing on the ballot statewide is our state Supreme Court race featuring the liberal Janet Protasiewicz and on against the conservative. We had a call yesterday, Trygve. I thought this caller from Appleton was fantastic. He said, he's a former Republican like you and I. He said, why do you keep calling these guys conservatives? They're not conservatives. Right. He said, they're regressives. He said, call them regressive conservatives. I like that. I thought that was pretty good.
They are regressive. They're right. Regressive and they're reformist, right? Like, and this is the thing. So we just got done, and I will at some point, we're going to be releasing in the next maybe, I don't know, 3 weeks, this massive study that we did. We're going to actually release it in 6 parts, but it's on extremism. And the first chapter is on, we went in and did this massive survey about how bad is the intolerance and extremism in our politics and like, how much of a problem do we have? But one of the things in there that's fascinating is most of America is very traditionalist in terms of cultural issues.
Right.
Right. But if you look at the Dobbs decision overturning Roe versus Wade, the conservatives are like the dog that caught the car on that, because the reality is these guys, they're trying to reform things that have been established and are part of the tradition. Now, I get they view abortion as revisionist. It should be illegal, but it's been the law of the land for 50 years. It's actually very reformist to say, you know what, we're not going to have that anymore. Mm. And that's what they are. They are trying to turn back and overturn a lot of things that we may not agree with, but that have been settled for decades, generations. And that there is nothing conservative about that. That is extremist. That is reformist. And that honestly is acting like a bunch of progressive socialists have acted, that they are responding to. Their response, instead of just going out and beating them with ideas, is we're going to take control of government and we're just going to start overturning stuff. And people don't like that. And they paid a price for it.
So I think it's going to be a big part in this Supreme Court race coming up again on April 4th. It was a week. It is 2 weeks, pardon me, from yesterday. Early voting is underway in Wisconsin. Check with your local clerks now in terms of hours and when and where exactly you can vote. But Protasiewicz, of course, running on A, she feels that women should have the right to choose, and also has said that the maps in Wisconsin are gerrymandered and rigged. And then you have the on the conservative side, you have former Justice Dan Kelly, never actually elected to the Supreme Court, only appointed by former Governor Scott Walker, and then lost to Jill Crosby spectacularly. And now he's back after being paid over $100,000 by state and federal Republican Party people to help with basically the insurrection, with the alternate set of electors to advise them legally. He was asked about it yesterday in the one and only debate between the two yesterday, Trigvi, and about that incident. And he said, and his response was, Kelly's response was, well, they're my clients. I was just helping a client. I wasn't doing anything wrong. I was just representing my client. Well, geez, as an attorney, right, you have the opportunity to say no to a client.
Right. I just think, I mean, one of the things, if you're in, I only have to put up with this because people send them to me. So I guess maybe it's worse for me that I watch them. But the ads have been spectacular. I mean, like they're, and if you're in Wisconsin, you gotta, it's gotten really nasty, and you gotta be getting tired if you're in certain demographics of every time you go on Hulu, right, seeing these people. But I think, you know, it's going to be, it's a little bit of a crapshoot because it's a low turnout election. And typically, right, although I think it will be quite high. We talked about this after the first round, right? Mm. Like, you know, it was high, but relative. But this is an election of consequence. And it's an election of consequence, not just in the state of Wisconsin and what happens with the Supreme Court and redistricting and the abortion law. But it's an election of consequence nationally in many ways, too. And you're seeing that. And people in Wisconsin end up having all these outsiders, you know, including the Lincoln Project, not in this race, but that are doing things in their state. But this is it's a massive election. I mean, people need to get out and vote, and they need to spend some time asking themselves, who is the real extremist in the race? And the real extremist in the race is Kelly. And not in a good way.
Yeah.
Not in a good way at all. He wants to control government for an agenda, not to do things to make life better for people.
And I think that whether you're a Republican or a Democrat or independent, whatever you call yourself or identify with politically, you should want somebody like Janet Protasiewicz, who's not going to be an activist, who's going to follow the letter of the law, because in 2024, no matter who wins that race, I want that individual to be certified in, you know, if it comes down to it, with the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. And I think that Protasiewicz, whether or not it's Trump or Biden or someone else, whoever the people of Wisconsin vote for, she's going to certify that election. We don't have that guarantee from a guy like Dan Kelly.
Yeah, and here's the thing, you know, Todd, with the maps and the map issue and the gerrymandering is a huge deal in many ways. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing, like I was involved back when I first started in politics and was in the Wisconsin State Legislature with redistricting to a degree in like 1990, after the 1990 census. God, I'm old. But I mean, that predates Brett Favre, for God's sakes. But the reality is we went all in on redistricting because the maps were incredibly unfair. Right. I mean, Democrats had controlled things for a long time, and the maps did not give Republicans a fair shot. And we eventually, you know, as Republicans eventually had success overturning that. But I remember how that felt. And the reality is, part of the reason why I think it's so wrong that Republicans have done to the maps exactly what Democrats did, we were supposed to be better than them.
Right.
And the cynicism of that is just, it wasn't right for them to do it, but two wrongs don't make a right. Right? And so...
Oh my God, you just brought back one of my favorite movies is Primary Colors, and there's a great line, Kathy Bates character at the end, or towards the end, and she goes, but we're not supposed to do that. We were supposed to be better than that. You know, we were
right.
And we weren't. And Stuart Stevens said it was all a lie. Trigvi Olsen.
And it was.
Trigvi, thank you very much for Lincoln Project. We'll see you next week, my friend. As a Packer owner, you got 10 seconds. What's going on with Aaron Rodgers? Is he gone or not?
It's like the Paris Peace Talks.
See you next week. Back with Hour 2.